Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your life support unit of free speech, because free speech is on the ropes. It's not quite down for the count, but it almost is, and intensive care unit. That's what I meant to say. It is the intensive care unit of free speech. You got to keep free speech alive. It's not easy. It's not easy to stay alive. It's like that Bee Gees song, "Staying Alive," except it's different. So what you need to do is go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage. You know, there's a few people who can get by. I hear talk that Nick Fuentes can make $4,000 an evening through super chats and whatnot, which, if that's true, that's outstanding. I'm glad for him, because we do need some people who can devote themselves full time to this. And not just that, but also develop an infrastructure, develop, you know, operations, rather than simply support themselves, actually employ some people and get a real movement going. So good on him. But we need RBN. You know, we need RBN because I like Nick Fuentes, but I think our takes on things, our narratives that we're developing are more sophisticated and are ultimately wind up being adopted by others. And, you know, the thing is, being the brains of the operation, that's not the same as being the wallet of the operation. The brains of the operation aren't going to necessarily get the super chats and the donations, but we need some. And keep RBN alive. Also, download the CoSertified app, because the stomach of your operation is telling you, forget the kosher certified food, go NKC non-kosher certified. All right, so this is Tuesday. It's our day for Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
I always appreciate your wacky intros, Patrick. They always make my day. So, and we do have a lot to discuss today, because a lot has been happening both in the Ukraine and elsewhere. And some of the COVID narrative has reared its head again. I don't know if you've seen, but there's a large number of women who are now coming forward saying that they have had serious issues with their menstrual cycles and their fertility in the wake of taking these COVID jabs. And when I say a large number of women are coming forward, this isn't sort of our women. This isn't, you know, nationalist women. This is liberal women. These are liberal women on Twitter who were fully jabbed. And obviously, every time they speak about the jabs, they proudly announce that they'd do it all again if they had to. You know, they're not anti-vaxxers, but. And I think this is, can you remember the old "I'm not racist, but" kind of thing that people would say? And I think we're going to have a new one of these, Patrick, where it's going to be "I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but," and the "I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but" is going to relate to problems with the jabs. So you're going to have a lot of people now, you know, coming up with these problems, and some of these problems will be immediate, some will be cumulative, some will obviously happen in the short term, but we still don't know the long-term issues here. But we are seeing a large number of liberal women on Twitter coming out and saying, hey, this has affected me, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but, you know, I've had this problem and I've had an irregular menstrual cycle. Some women are saying that since they've had the jabs, they've been bleeding constantly for 90 days. You know, and at the time we were told this wouldn't affect women's fertility. Yet, lo and behold, it is.
There were people who were saying it would, or saying it was, and we heard early reports of this a long time ago, a year ago or 9 months ago, a long time ago. We were hearing about this. And it's funny you mention it, because I heard Candace Owens. I thought it was just, you know, out of the blue, but Candace Owens, who's this young black lady who is on Tucker's show now. I guess she's got her own Fox show somewhere. And, you know, honestly, she is a welcome replacement for Tammy Bruce, who is a lesbian lady that he used to have on, a lesbian, more or less boomer. And she was all of a sudden, Candace Owens just starts saying about all these women who are having trouble with their menses, or however she put it. So it was almost like out of the blue. But so this is in the news now.
Well, I've not seen it actually in the news, but it was on Twitter. There's a woman or a lady called Katie Stoll. Katie Stoll, I believe, is an actress. She's clearly somebody of a liberal persuasion. She's not us, basically. She's not a nationalist. She's not on our side. But she has come out and said, hey, this is affecting women. You know, this is like this. There's a big cover-up going on. I'll read the actual tweet to you so you can hear what she has to say. She says, look, full stop. This isn't intended to come across as anti-vax in any way, full stop. I am triple protected and would do it again, full stop. So obviously, you know, her first thing is whether she would do it again or not, we don't know. I mean, some people say these things, don't they? Some people feel compelled to, you know, say, well, actually, I would definitely do this again, but they're really thinking, God, I'd never do this again. But she goes on and says, you know, because clearly she doesn't want to get banned off Twitter. She doesn't want to be attacked. She doesn't want to have her, you know, privileges curtailed. She wants to work again. But then she comes out and says, but it has significantly affected my menstruation. It has significantly affected a lot of women's menstruation. There's hardly been anything written about this. So really what this woman is actually coming out and saying is, hey, this is a big issue. This is a big issue that is affecting thousands of women. And she went on then to write several other tweets, which were very interesting in their own, in themselves, because she was saying, since I've written this, I've had hundreds, thousands of messages from women who have come forward and said, this has absolutely affected me. This has absolutely affected my cycle. Now, I speak to...
We did hear initially it was like, well, it affects your cycle for, you know, 1 or 2 months.
Well, some of these women are saying that they've been bleeding nonstop for 90 days. I actually know of a girl, where I live, there's a girl who has said that she's had to have a vasectomy because she just didn't stop bleeding.
Wow.
So she was completely healthy. Now she's had to have a vasectomy. Now, what we're talking about here is an absolute scandal. And obviously, when this all started to... sort of take place, I remember you and I talking about thalidomide. We started talking about thalidomide and we started to say, look, in the past, things have been called the miracle drug or the miracle cure, or things have been sort of billed as something that does everything that we would need it to do, so to speak. But in time, there have been problems unearthed. And there was, how can I put it, a very aggressive attempt to get everybody to take this. Everybody. Everyone had to take this. It was a very aggressive campaign. And those who were saying, well, we might want to hold out, or we might want to, you know the truth about this, or we want to wait, they were pretty much pilloried. They were attacked. They were pilloried. They were called anti-vaxxers, conspiracy theorists. And at the time, I remember discussing this with my woman. I remember saying to her, I don't like this. I don't think it's good. I've got a bad gut feeling. Because sometimes you get a bad gut feeling about people or about something. And I had a bad gut feeling about this from day one. I didn't like it. It was something that just did not feel right to me. And I was quite honest about this. I was quite open about it. I said, I don't think people should be taking this. I said, we don't know the long-term effects. And I said, and what's more, the death toll that we're seeing here is not the sort of death toll that you would expect for something.
There wasn't the public health crisis that, like, to whatever you think about the virus, there was no public health crisis that warranted these heroic measures.
No, there wasn't. There was. The way people were talking, and I've said this before, so it's a bit boring, and yeah, I'm going to say it again now, but the way people were talking was if this was a zombie horror film, and you were walking out of your door, and there was death everywhere you looked, and there was bodies in the street, and that is how people were, you know, viewing this. People were viewing this as if it was, you know, The Walking Dead. And I know that sounds funny, because obviously, It clearly wasn't, but that's how people viewed it. People were viewing this as if it was the end of the world, as if there was some health crisis here that was unprecedented, that this was an illness that was unprecedented. And we were told in the UK somewhere, initially somewhere between, you know, 2 to 4 million people could die. These crazy predictions were made multiple times. The last crazy prediction was saying that 6,000 people a day were going to be dying. Now, obviously, if you've got, in a small country like the UK, if you've got 6,000 people a day dying, you're going to know about that. You know, I'm not, and when I say you're going to know about that, that's not hyperbole. You are going to see it. You would see bodies. You would see, you know, neighbours would stop responding. You know, you'd see that your neighbours' cars hadn't moved, their curtains hadn't moved for days. You know, somebody on your street would be dead. Because 6,000 a day, it's a lot. You know, you're talking, obviously, you know, over a month-long period, that's an uplift of 180,000 additional deaths, which is massive. It's massive, especially for, I'd say, for a small country like the UK. You would know somebody who had died, you know, and what's more, there would be horror stories of, you know, old people dying in their homes and not being discovered, or, you know, people losing a parent and calling them again and again. You know, I can't get through to my parents. I can't get through to my parents. They're not answering. They both died. Oh, my gosh. You know, all of this would have come to pass. And it would have been pretty horrific, Patrick. But we didn't see this. And as time went by, what did we see? Well, we saw more and more people just drifting back to normal life. Life going on as normal, but no death. None of this, you know, no crazy death toll. And as I said, this isn't, you know, we're obviously, you and I will obviously be called at times by people, sort of conspiracy theorists, we'll be called, you know, all sorts of things. But in the end, the conspiracy theory was what the system was concocting to sell this crap to us, because they were coming up with this crazy, and it was a conspiracy, you know, this crazy sort of like everyone's going to be dying, you know, this fear porn that they were selling us was to coerce people into taking these jabs. And you had people, you know, lining up for them. And I know people who took them that were very ill. And I know people who took them that got very ill. And after they got very ill, they said, oh, well, I'm going to go for my second jab. I said, you told me you got dead ill from it. Yeah, but you got to do it, haven't you? What? What do you mean you got to do it, haven't you? I don't even understand what you mean. Well, obviously, you don't have to do it. If it's making you ill, maybe don't do it. But you were dealing with people who were, again and again, were divorcing themselves from the reality of the situation. So, and what I mean by divorcing yourself from the reality of the situation is, you know, if you go to your favourite burger restaurant, and I like a nice burger, I don't know about you, Patrick, but I'm a big fan of a nice burger. And if I go to a burger restaurant and I have a big, you know, double quarter pounder with cheese and onion, and about 6 hours later, I'm puking my guts up and I feel absolutely rotten, I'm not sure whether I'd go back to that restaurant again.
Oh, you got to go back, aren't you?
You got to go back, mate. You just got to. But then if you went back and it made you sick a second time, you definitely, you know, you might say, well, it might not have been the burgers. It could well have been, you know, those fish fingers I had the night before. Or it could have been that that ham sandwich I had at lunch, because I'm not sure if it was, it did smell slightly funky or whatever. But you would sort of be a little bit more, well, maybe this isn't the right thing. But what I'm saying is, here with this jab, people were getting seriously ill. But instead of actually reacting as any rational human would if something made them ill, they didn't. They acted in the most irrational way possible, which was to basically state that they'd do it all again. And you've got this with these women. You've got this with these women now. Oh, it's totally messed up my menstrual cycle. You know, I've been bleeding for 90 days. But I'd take all three jabs again tomorrow if they're offered to me. You know, they're queuing up for their fourth jab as they're realizing that they're infertile. And at this point, you've got to hand it to the system.
Mm-hmm.
What the system has crafted here is a narrative, like something out of a book, like something out of 1984, where everybody knows what is the truth, but they're all denying what is the truth because they know that speaking the truth will get them into trouble. And there is this thing now where long time, I'm not saying racist is like, you know, is now gone. Racist is still there as like a very sort of pervasive and damaging insult. But you've got to say racist, you know, has been joined by anti-vax.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of I'm not a butt, or, oh, you know, I am critical of this, but don't call me an anti-vaxxer. And this is is very interesting. The powers that be have played a blinder.
It is interesting. Actually, it reminds me of Andrew Englund, who has kind of his own version of this. He'll say something like, I'm the biggest racist you've ever met, but I'm not even trying to hold down black people. You know, something like that. But so you've got that. Where was it? Oh, I just had another really good example. So it's like, you know, people, when they're talking about on TV, if they're talking about illegal immigration, it's like, you know, we got to close the border. It's not that I'm anti-immigration. I think we should have lots of immigration, but they should come in legally. Right. So we can't stand up for our own positions. We've got to adopt the other side's position, their overall position, but just have like a nuance to it. I'm not an anti-immigration. I want, you know, when Donald Trump made, I guess it was it his second, was it the 2019 State of the Union, where he said, I've brought back so many factories. We need more immigration than ever before to staff these factories, these imaginary factories he hadn't really brought back.
Yeah, you see, this is one of the things, wasn't it? Sort of like every time a conservative, I say a conservative sort of in inverted commas, like, you know, because they're not really conservatives, are they? But every time you hear a conservative talking about something like immigration, they will always sort of bookend their commentary with something that makes you feel nauseous. So you will have, I'm against illegal immigration, but I would let all of these people absolutely flood in if they just got the right paperwork. Legal immigration is actually the lifeblood of our nation. And you sat there thinking to yourself, who are you actually winning over with this? Because, you see, for me, I don't know whether I've got it. I might have it all wrong, but the fact is, I am what I am, and I would like to appeal to the people I want to appeal to. And I am sick of talking in, you know, in riddles and sort of half measures. I want to say what I want to say. And I understand that saying what I want to say is an absolutely important thing. It's freedom. And I think that if you're constantly tailoring your message to please people, who actually you're never going to please, and this is very important, like you have parties in this country like UKIP. I remember when Nigel Farage went on a chat show, and Nigel Farage was asked, you know, you want to stop immigration, and he made this sort of quite strange speech about how he did want to stop immigration, but by stopping the immigration that he wanted to stop, because he was talking to a black woman, he said it would actually let more people like you come in. You know, this would actually mean more Africans would come in, because the type of immigration I want to stop, he says, are Eastern Europeans. So we're going to stop Eastern Europeans, and we're going to go back to the good old days of Commonwealth immigration, which basically means what he's actually saying is he wants to go back to these this sort of time where, you know, immigration all comes from, you know, non-white, sort of largely Africanized British colonies. That's what Nigel Farage was saying, that he wants to take us back to this, you know, this wonderful era of, you know, of the colonies.
Yeah.
And I sat there watching this thinking, So you're telling me that you think bringing people in from former British colonies, you know, Jamaica, the Caribbean, places in Africa, who have vastly different cultures, vastly different traditions, completely different ways of life to us, and also doesn't even go into the IQ difference.
Right. Hey, and we can't go into that because that would be totally racist. But we can go into it on the other side. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back. All right. So Nigel Farage, that style, the whole thing. Yeah, I want to stop immigration, but I want to stop it from white countries. We need more.
His big thing was that he wanted to stop mass immigration coming from countries where people were more similar to us. He wants to stop immigration from Poland and Hungary and Lithuania, places where people are white, where they have a Christian heritage, where they have similar traditions, where they, you know, celebrate Christmas, where they have very, very similar moral outlook on the world. He wants to stop that, and he's going to replace that. He's going to replace that immigration with vast numbers of people from, you know, elsewhere in the world,
India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, Commonwealth countries.
Yeah. So this is the point, though, isn't it? This, none of this makes sense, but all of this was to please the blacks in the audience on that day. And I can tell you this, they ain't UKIP voters. They're not UKIP voters. Those people, by and large, vote Labour. They're not UKIP voters. Some of them will vote Conservative because they'll realise that there's a system where they can be tokenised and they will be, you know, the token. They will be the token for the Conservative Party in their area. You'll get a few of those. But generally speaking, what you've actually got here is a situation where he's trying desperately to grovel and appeal to people who fundamentally don't share his world outlook. Whereas he should have said, this is our country. And if we want to regulate the number, quality, and type of people coming in to our country, we have every right to do that. And the British people, if they vote for that, their rights should absolutely be honoured. Because this is a system of so-called democracy, and democracy is when you elect people to act in your interest. Democracy is not something where you elect people to tell you what to do. That is not he should have said something like that, but he can never say something like that. And do you know why he can never say something like that, Patrick? Because fundamentally, everybody who is of a conservative persuasion is always desperate to, quote-unquote, play the game. To play the game. We've got to play the game, guys. We've got to play the game. We've got to ensure that we're playing the game. But whose game are you playing? Well, I'm going to tell you. You're playing the game of the anti-whites. You're playing the game of the liberals. You're not playing the game of your people. You're not heading out to please your own voters. And this is the problem. And I've said this many, many times, that conservatives, Republicans, you know, people on the mainstream right are so desperate. And this is the same with transgender. I'll get onto this in a minute, because the transgender thing is something that really annoys me. And I'll explain this why in a second. Well, there's obviously people know why, because it's madness. But I'm going to explain why in a more sort of erudite way in a second. But they're constantly playing the game. But in playing the game, what they're actually doing is playing their enemy's game. And their enemies are laughing at them. Because they are doing the work of their enemies. They're adopting their enemies' language, and they're actually playing into the hands of their enemies. So why does the transgender thing annoy me? Well, for many reasons. Obviously, it's complete and utter insanity. It's madness, and pushing it upon children is child abuse. All of those things stand. But one thing that really annoys me is the right-wing press are constantly trying to convince the people. So say papers like the Daily Mail or Fox News, constantly trying to convince the people that they are, you know, the average man on the street's dog in the fight, that they share the concerns of the average man on the street when it comes to issues like transgenderism. Now, this is very interesting. And it's very interesting because when you read these publications or watch these things on television, watch shows about this on television, these publications will always call a transgender pre or post-op whatever pronouns they desire. And that's not lost on me. Because ultimately, what they're saying, fundamentally, what those newspapers are saying, is that they're playing the game. They're going along with the actual narrative of the people they claim to be wanting to defeat. So what you've actually got here is somebody like the Daily Mail saying, you know, she, when they're talking about a transgender cyclist, who is absolutely 100%, a man.
Yeah.
And they're playing that game. And when they are then pulled up on anything like this, they will always, always, always say, well, we use the correct pronouns because, you know, we stand by these people's rights to, you know, make the choices they want. But what they're really saying in that is that fundamentally they are part of this transgender revolution. They're not opposing it because they're using the terms. Once you accept that a guy in a wig is a woman and should be called a woman, once you accept that, you have, by definition, bought into it and you are pushing it. And once you're bought into it and you are pushing it, for all of the...
Hey, once you bought into it and you're pushing it, then you're saying that that pervert can go into your little girl's locker room and do whatever.
We're
at the break. We'll be right back.
Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Are back. Hey, one little announcement. Yesterday I filled in for Mike Rivero on what really happened, and I think it was pretty good. So if you want to go back and listen to that, there's a lot. I talked an awful lot about Ukrainian news. I tried to keep to the same format where it was a news show, not a views show so much. And so go back, look at the archives for what really happened. What really happened here. And Monday show, hours 1 and 2. And that's just my recommendation. But anyway, yeah, we're talking about the tranny stuff. The whole pronoun thing is so retarded. But yeah, so once you call that... Undersecretary of Health and Human Affairs Levine, when you start calling that humanoid she, then you're buying into the whole system.
Of course you are. You've already conceded. You're already part then of the establishment's charge against normality because you're accepting it as real. So I'll give you an example. If you were sat with a child and the child is you know, the child is scared of the boogeyman. You know the boogeyman doesn't exist. And you say to the child, you know, we know the boogeyman doesn't exist. If you say to the child, well, we need to lock the doors at night so the boogeyman doesn't get in, you've bought into that narrative and your kid's only going to be more scared. You know, you can't buy in to the narrative that's harming you in any way. You've got to be honest. Because once you've said, well, we're locking the door at night to keep the boogeyman out, well, to your child, the boogeyman exists. Well, he doesn't exist because there's no such thing as the boogeyman. That's just, it's a nonsense. It's something made up to scare children. And reality is that you lock your doors at night, not to keep the boogeyman out, but to keep yourself safe from, you know, burglars or people who might have bad intentions for you, but not from monsters. But if you play into that narrative that monsters exist, well, they basically, it's much harder to educate your child that they don't. It's much harder to make sure your child isn't scared because you're actually playing up to this. And they play up to this transgender thing because fundamentally they do believe that transgenders exist. They do believe that men can become women and women can become men. Now, I don't believe men can become women and women can become men. I don't believe that is the case. I believe that transgenders exist in the sense that there are confused people who are mentally ill, but they're not trapped in the wrong body. They're not actually needing to transition. What they need to do is to come to terms with who they really are. And this is very similar to, say, something like anorexia. When an anorexic looks in the mirror, even though they're skin and bones, they see a fat person, and that person needs to be educated that they're not, in fact, fat. That person needs to be educated that, in fact, they are skinny and need to eat more. If you started saying to a an anorexic, well, maybe we should work on a diet plan for you to help you shed those last few pounds, that would be seen as abuse. That would be playing into their delusions. That wouldn't be making things better. That would be making things worse. But what you've got here is a load of people who are suffering serious delusions, that think they're trapped in the wrong body, that are all confused, that are sometimes just going through a phase. It might be an issue of hormones. It might be an issue that some of these people have actually faced a trauma that has made them think differently. It might be a cry for attention. But whatever it is, it's not reality. And if you play up to it as if it's reality, it's no different from, you know, telling an anorexic that, yeah, you know, they need to cut down the calories. It's complete nonsense. Mm-hmm. These mental problems need to be challenged. And they can't be challenged by buying into delusions, just like you can't challenge the boogeyman by telling your child that you're locking the door to keep him out of the house, because your kid then still believes in the boogeyman. You have to say it doesn't exist. You know, and transgenders, as I said, there are mentally ill people out there, but a man cannot become a woman and a woman cannot become a man. That is the end of it. That is reality. You know, and whether you come at that reality from the point of view of God or from the point of view of nature, it's kind of irrelevant to me. You know, there's people who come at this from, we are created by God and God created us in this way and we are in God's image and you can't change that. Or whether you come at this from a slightly different perspective, which is obviously a perspective of, well, you know, we are products of nature and nature is binary. Nature creates man and woman. Well, that is true. That is true. But whichever way you come at this from, to say that these people exist in any way and to start playing their pronoun game is to help them perpetuate their madness. And the big problem is every right wing or so-called right wing publication that is desperately trying to convince, you know, Joe Public, that they have a voice out there, are all buying into this madness and using the right pronouns. So they are all subtly seeding this as a real thing to the public.
And, you know, so before I had said something about, well, you know, you're going to wind up with Richard, a.k.a. Rachel Levine type people in the women's locker room. But you've got in the University of Pennsylvania, this well-known swimmer, I don't know the name that this swimmer goes by, but who's been smashing records and I guess was the fastest collegiate women's swimmer. But this person, something Thomas, still has his male genitalia. And so
he's massive. It's not just about his genitalia, mate. He's massive. Have you seen the size of him? No, but his shoulders and muscle structure. I know.
But here's my point. Okay, so he makes the actual female swimmers uncomfortable because he goes around naked in the locker room, you know, or changes, and you know, but it's not just that he still has his male genitalia, but he's still into chicks. He still digs. He's a trans lesbian. Okay, now did this person become a trans?
He's just a pervert.
Okay, so did he do this because he, for whatever reason, he wants to win women's swimming championships? Maybe that's what he did. But once he's set that precedent that you can just be a dude and declare yourself a trans lesbian and get to go into the girls' locker room, okay, what happens next? Does it have to be a world-class or almost world-class swimmer? Or can it just be any pervert? Or not even a pervert.
Not just even
a pervert. What if Tyrone just says, "Hey, I want to get in there too. I'm a trans man. Let me in there." That becomes okay.
You're saying if this happens, this is already happening. You already have a system in the UK, or a situation in the UK, where you have these violent offenders, sometimes rapists, sometimes sex offenders, saying that they're now a woman, that they're transitioning, and they're being put in female only prisons.
And then raping the other prisoners.
Yeah, it's basically the equivalent of the fox saying he identifies as a hen, and then the farmer placing him in the hen house.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. All right. We have still some of the program left, and there is stuff going on in Ukraine. I think the hero Zelensky, finally, after 6 weeks, has actually appeared outdoors. There had been a lot of speculation that he wasn't even in the country, but there appears to be I just saw a little video of him in body armor walking around what appears to be Bucha, the town in the suburbs of Kiev, where you've got allegations of Russian atrocities, which are more likely either staged or, to the extent the atrocities were committed by the these fanatic groups, the cartoon Nazis. Because the thing is, this Bucha, the Russian troops left it on the 30th of March. The 31st of March, then the mayor of Bucha comes and says, "We've retaken the town." And then the allegations of atrocities don't come out until the 3rd of April. So you had this period of 4 days. And why, if there really were dead bodies in the sidewalks, on the streets, why didn't the mayor say it on the 31st? Why didn't he say it on the 1st? And he didn't. And, there's been some speculation, because there was a film that was released of a car going through the streets. And it did seem as if, it might not be like 100% conclusive, but it did seem as if some of the corpses in the streets might actually been moving. But then also, there's been talk that, when the Russians were occupying this area, there were people, and maybe they were Russian speakers, maybe they were ethnic Russians, who were trading rations with the Russian troops that were in some way collaborating, and that these neo-Nazi groups, the cartoon Nazi groups, could have come in and just executed the people that they thought were supposedly collaborators with the Russians. And of course, that's just as plausible, if not more plausible, than anything else. So there's that. I wanted to bring that up. What do you think of that? Have you heard anything about it?
It's all over the newspapers. My takeaway from this is, ultimately, I'm seeing here pretty much a narrative that I would say is in line with their narrative that Putin is the new Hitler. So you have the idea that Putin's invasion is because he's a madman, he's a brutal dictator, he has no interests, this is a power grab, it's a land grab, you know, he's just gone insane. You know, I saw things in the newspaper that, you know, Putin's, you know, he's getting past it, he's getting old, he's probably, you know, insane. He wants to leave his mark on the world. He wants an invasion in his name before he, you know, before he dies. Just real odd stuff that really doesn't make any sense, to be honest. But this is the kind of thing that you hear written about Hitler, written about the Nazis, you know, that they were absolutely insane and all they wanted was war, and they had this unnatural thirst for blood and destruction and death. And obviously I don't believe that to be true, but this is what your people are saying now about Putin. And not only are they saying that about Putin, but they are now wheeling out the war crimes, the atrocities, and it's almost, if you like, too perfect, if you know what I mean. It's almost exactly on time. It's almost as if it's all being read from a playbook. You know, it's all being read just from a playbook. Right, you know, Putin is Hitler, he's invaded, this is, you know, Poland in 1939. Now, we've reached the point where, it's Holocaust time now, as far as the media is concerned. This is Holocaust time. This is basically what has actually come of the country that's been invaded. And this is the next sort of logical, you know, I think, part of, you know, the narrative against Putin, because Putin is being painted as, you know, the next worst thing, you know, if maybe not the next worst thing from Hitler, maybe sort of like even, you know, Hitler 2.0. He's almost the, you know, the embodiment of Hitler. And I think all of this is very interesting in the fact that they are building this up to make it sound as if he is exactly the same. And this is sort of a repeat of history. And you even see people saying, this is just history repeating itself. This is no different from the Third Reich. This is exactly what happened in the 1940s. Who will stop this madman? And it doesn't surprise me this is being said. I rolled my eyes when I saw it, as if to say sort of, oh, and here comes the rest of the propaganda. Because every time now, when there is propaganda against a state or a nation, that propaganda is always or always includes some kind of atrocities, always includes some kind of mass killing, some kind of horrific mass discovery of mass graves or something like that. And it's, you're just waiting for it to come out. So, or executions, that's another one they love. So when they talk about the Iranian regime, it's always something to do with executions. They're always executing somebody there. With Saddam Hussein, there was, again, you know, there was weapons of mass destruction, but that was followed by, you know, massive human rights abuses. The bombing of Serbia was always justified on these massive human rights abuses. And you're hearing this constantly. It's almost like there is this narrative. And usually when these narratives play out, because they always do play out in the fullness of time, and as they play out, you eventually find out that it is nonsense, that these things didn't actually happen, or they were overblown, or they were to some degree staged. Just in the, like in the Second World War, you know, people were told that the massacres in Poland were the work of the Nazis. Well, the massacres in Poland were not the work of the Nazi Party. The massacres in Poland were the work of the Soviets. They were the work of the Bolsheviks, the communists. That's who carried out the Kachin Forest massacres and other massacres at the time. In fact, it was only post-Second World War when the Holocaust narrative was actually spun. That's a fact. Now, I find with this that it just all seems just too convenient, and it fits this absolute template that they roll out. And I should imagine over the coming weeks and months, this will be more. There will be talks of rape, abuse, executions. There will be all kinds of horror stories coming out here. And I should imagine a large number of these will be staged. What will be completely glossed over is the ethnic Russians being killed in eastern Ukraine and by these very strange Jewish-funded Nazi groups. And Very strange. And over time, what we're going to see is a complete hatred of Russia and the Russians whipped up in the West, to the point where it gets to a fever pitch, where you will actually have people that you would think were sane, rational people, who will be calling for eventually all-out war with Russia, who will be saying, "Look, this is it.
Yeah.
We need a full-on war."
We're at the break. We'll be right back.
Some clash or tweak the header's beard. From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We are back, and all right, getting back to Ukraine, there's a town, Mariupol, which is on the Azov Sea, which is a little extension of the Black Sea, and Mariupol was the stronghold of this Azov Brigade. I guess that's where they get their name from. It's on the Azov Sea, and this was the one city where there's been really, really heavy fighting, and the Azov Brigade seems to be kind of isolated in some sort of industrial zone somewhere. And there were a few attempts to fly helicopters into this industrial zone and then fly out. And some of the helicopters, I think, were shot down on the way in, and others were shot down on the way out, presumably with their cargo or their passengers. And there's been speculation about, you know, what the heck are they doing? These are like suicide missions. Why would you fly helicopters in one after another when they're getting shot down? There must be something pretty important in that industrial zone. Some people there. Scott Ritter was speculating that it may be some French attaché that Macron desperately does not want to be embarrassed with having some high-level French person captured in there with the Azov Brigade. There's rumors on the internet which are probably let's just say that are unconfirmed, that it's an American general. But at any rate, that whole thing is kind of weird. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, when you say it's quite weird, I think it would be quite reasonable and to expect there to be people linked with the West, linked with NATO, actually there in some way on the ground or working with Azov or working against Russian forces. I should imagine there are some Western the West keep talking about how proud they are that Western audience is being used to take down, you know, Russian helicopters, blow up Russian tanks. Now that's very dangerous, really, talk, because what's actually being said here is that, you know, the West are funding the death of Russian soldiers. Now that's a really, you know, serious thing, because if the Russians decide that's a declaration of war, well, you've got a bit of a problem on your hands there. And my thought on this is that I can absolutely see the West having people there on the ground, because they've got to get these armaments in there somehow, mm-hmm. and they've got to train people into how to use these armaments. You know, for example, I can imagine that you could give you or I one of these missile launchers that could blow up a tank or blow up a helicopter, etc. But I doubt you or I would be able to use it. I doubt you or I would actually be able to operate such a thing. I should imagine that, you know, should push come to shove, you or I wouldn't have a clue what we were doing with something like that. So there has to be somebody there. Yeah. And I'm sure there are instruction manuals. But
are they in Ukrainian? I don't know. But we're at the end of the show. Any last thoughts, or including guests on your shows this week?
My guests on the show this week are a lady called Paris and Jodie Kay. We're doing a special about an event that took place in the UK recently, where these women went to a BAME event and basically challenged the status quo. So that's going to be very important, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You always tell me
here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.